to smell you later.
We're doing it live.
Yes, your favorite podcast about scents and smells since 2020.
That's right.
Yep.
God.
Yep.
The fact that I'm not even going to go there.
Don't even go there.
I know. End of the year vibes.
I know. I hate that December is, everything is like something of the year, word of the year, color of the year, person of the year. I'm like, these are all wrong. All of you are wrong. What are you doing?
Well, they certainly got it wrong with color of the year.
Peach fuzz. Every time I see the Pantone color of the year, because I know I'm going to get a million beauty press releases the day of. That, here's a bunch of products that look like this color. I'm like, what is the like economic conspiracy behind this?
I do.
There is one. Absolutely.
But like, I think Pantone licensed a bunch of shit out throughout the year because you'll see it in Sephora, you'll see it other places. But yeah. I think other people just hop on. I don't know. It's just something for people to get excited about.
It really feels like there's just like a Pantone wizard and he's like, guess what, guys? It's Peach Fuzz.
Yes.
We gotta live with it. Also, a week after they announce it, it just like, doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like nobody cares.
We did get invited to, what the fuck was it?
It was Firmenich. They were doing a party that was like an unveiling party.
For Pantone.
But I think they were also making a scent to go with it, which allegedly they said they're sending to me, but I don't know because I couldn't go to the event. So
I was going to, we had another event that night and Sable was like, I'm not doing two in a row. I was about to, but I was like, I don't think I care.
I think that would have been like a relationship building event more than like a, go there for the curiosity of what you're doing.
Yeah. Those events like that, sometimes the net's a little too wide. It's just, if I'm around more of like your corporate team than I am all the other motherfuckers.
I'm glad to be invited.
I'm happy to be invited, of course.
Because I always just want to talk to people who work there and be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
What is your job?
Seeing you at those specific like corporate fragrance events is so funny because you are sort of like, so what's the deal here? Like,
everybody, who are you? What do you do?
How does this happen? No, it's funny. And, you know, they're usually pretty open about answering it, at least in good faith.
Just because I don't know the questions to ask until I know more information.
Right.
So I'm like, give me a little bit of information so I can ask you more annoying questions.
That one that we went to maybe in the middle of summer, was that Givaudan or Firmenich?
That was Firmenich.
Firmenich.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was fun.
That was really fun.
That was just their summer party.
Uh-huh.
Just like a little party to celebrate. I was surprised that I learned that it was mostly for their clients. So it's like for their clients and them to all, it's like a kind of a celebration, like a networking thing. So I was just like, what do you want to do with us? Like,
it's so funny. If this is a relationship building thing, like business to business for you, why do you want us here?
Exactly.
I fucking bar us out.
Yeah.
But they had great food.
Oh, the food was really good there. And like the little scent stations, that was really cool.
I still have all those.
I still have them too. And I don't know what to do with them, but I don't want to throw them away.
We'll donate them.
Yeah. We can donate everything.
Yes.
It's the season.
Yes.
Now, whenever I get like a mysteriously unsolicited box of Kiss false lashes and press-on nails, which I don't wear, I just put them downstairs and I say like, free lashes. And they're gone in an hour. Within the hour, they're gone.
That pit bull that lives above you suddenly has super long lashes.
Well, like I see the girl in my building, they wear the lashes, they wear the nails. So I was like, somebody wants these.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I should do that more with beauty products. But I also am just like, is the super just like throwing them out? I don't know.
No, I'm sure not.
Hope not. Speaking of fragrance events, we went to a really cool fragrance event this week for Dead Cool.
Yes, our friends at Dead Cool.
Yeah, they had a little party to celebrate their new scent called Sunlit Blooms.
Yes, the event was at the Wiggle Room, which is the most poorly named
bar. I actually love the name.
I hate the name. So I've only been to the Wiggle Room one other time, and I think it's like a thing right now.
Is it?
Yeah. So we went before it was like actually open.
Uh-huh.
So there was no one there besides us.
Is it new?
I can't answer that question. I think it's new-ish. So when we were there, it was nice because we had the run of the place and we were in the basement.
Yeah.
Or the lower level. The lower private room.
Yes.
Which is very cool.
I don't know why I thought the Wiggle Room was like a totally different space. I think just because I had heard the name around and I was like, I think that's like a club.
I kept thinking Boom Boom Room.
Oh, maybe that's what I was confusing
the whole time. I was like, here I am.
Yeah. It's just like a bar in the East Village. And I was like, nope.
Where were we? The East Village?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
No, the Deadcool event was really cool. We have gotten to know the brand this year, and it was cool that I feel like the brand itself was like sort of reflected in the event, because they're not always, you know what I mean? It was just like cool, chill, mellow vibes. The place smelled great. It was full of these beautiful floral arrangements.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
The flowers are really pretty.
Really, really
pretty. They had a little like discovery kit making station, which is really cool. You could pick the samples and put them in a little tin for yourself.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you just took a tin.
No, you build it.
Oh, fuck. That's so cool. I should have fucking did that.
We have discovery kits.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
They also had a joint rolling station.
They had a joint station, which I took one just because.
Yeah.
But it has chamomile and like lavender and other stuff in it. And part of me is like,
does it have weed?
It has weed in it. Okay, good. It's like it's a blend. It's a blend.
Oh.
But my dumbass is just, you can smoke tea. You can like invite the smoke of it into your respiratory system.
I did not take a joint for obvious reasons.
Just to have it.
Yeah.
You know,
a safety joint.
A safety joint.
Put it in the freezer.
You need a safety joint sometimes. Yeah. A friend might want it. I don't know. Just to whip it out and be like,
you're a gracious host.
I've got a joint, kids. What's that? Like a puff. You can.
But yes, I really enjoy the fragrance, and maybe we'll hear about it later on this episode.
Maybe
one of us is wearing it.
Okay, so I made a little poll on our last episode.
Okay. Oh, I saw that on Spotify.
Yeah,
right?
I didn't realize you can actually make your own polls, and I'm like, wait, this is really fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Did people engage?
People engage.
Slay.
Wow. Okay. Of all the categories of what your top perfume genre of the year was, out of gourmand, spice, floral, herbaceous / green, fruity, leather, and other. I blanked. I was like, what are things smelling? I don't even know anymore. Of course, gourmand took the cake.
Good.
Gourmand followed by herbaceous / green, with a very close follow by floral, and then spice. Okay. Those are the top four.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Fruity and leather tied for last.
Gourmand does not surprise me being on top, but the rest of it does. I'm surprised spice is not higher.
Me too.
Surprised fruit is not higher.
Yeah.
I'm also surprised that herbaceous green is so high. But then again,
also
in floral. But I think I am just reacting to my own sentiments rather than the public.
I also realize that other people probably, when they hear the word herbaceous, have a different idea of what we're thinking of.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
I think green is a nice catch-all, though.
Yeah. But it was really nice that what was your favorite scent of 2023? I'm like, you have to go in and like manually publish the answers.
Okay.
Which is good in case someone writes something crazy or just mean, like they do on Apple Podcasts.
Like they do in our reviews. They're eating us up.
Let's see what everyone liked. Boy Smells Broken Rosary. Wait, did they do a scent of that or just a candle?
Just a candle.
I technically didn't write favorite perfume. I just wrote favorite scent.
Okay, that's fair.
In Love with Everything by Imaginary Artists.
Period.
Period. Hibiscus Mahajad. Maison Crivelli.
Uh-huh.
Another one we love. Pure Poison Dior. I don't know if I've smelled that one.
I've smelled
Hypnotic Poison and Poison Girl. I need to
Poison
smell.
Girl?
There's a Poison Girl. Of course there's a Poison Girl. Okay, Dior.
Thank you, patriarchy.
Lush Grass and Glossy AU.
Oh, with a, get over it.
With the grimacing emoji.
Okay, fine. You got me there.
Silent Rescue, Iris Melicon, Vanagloria, haven't heard of that. Wow, this person has very eclectic tastes. I have not heard of most of them except for Iris.
Sorry,
Melicon.
I want to see this.
Okay. Ooh, Amelage Guidance. I also love that one. Room 1015, Sweetleaf. I'm not familiar with that.
I think I am. Okay. At the brand, not the fragrance.
Is the brand Sweetleaf or is the brand Room 1015?
The brand is Room 1015.
Got it. Incenso by Farmacia Vaticana. Haven't heard of that, but it sounds very chic. Turmeric Latte, Lush. You like that one.
I love that one.
Nymphaeus by Kismet Olfactive. Ooh, that also sounds really cool. Ooh, Aloria Gentle Shower.
That's fucking right.
Yes, Burberry Goddess, obviously. Black Opium YSL, Evergreen Classic.
Love that.
Y'all have good taste.
We really do. That's so cool.
Yeah. Love these polls.
I love having no visibility to Spotify whatsoever and then just being pleasantly surprised.
Get a Spotify account.
It's hideous.
They're all hideous.
At least Apple Music is clean. It's unusable, but it's clean.
Clean? What does that mean?
I didn't want to say white.
Okay. It's more aesthetic.
Yes.
To you.
Yes.
Got it. I wish there was actually a way Spotify would integrate. Like, you could change themes. Like, you know how you can make themes for browsers?
Yeah.
I wish you would do that for Spotify if you're listening, which you're not. It was like, keep creating podcasts for us.
We're fucking working for them.
Swedish accent.
Thank you for taking part in our poll. So is the poll, me asking this,
if you go to the episode, when you listen to episodes on Spotify, just click the episode title and it'll have questions. Hooray. The default question, I think, is always, what did you think of this episode? Which I think is a little, something about it feels very confronting.
Like, they're like, flop.
Yeah. What did you think of this episode? I'm like,
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. That's their default question. But you can also change, we could change the default question. But,
well,
yeah. Sometimes people say what they think of the episode, and it's always nice, which I appreciate.
That's really sweet. I love our audience.
Yeah. I love our Spotify audience. Just kidding. I love you all. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
What an amazing question. That is the first time
you've
ever asked
me that. What an amazing and original question.
Yeah, exactly. What a question I've never heard before. This is a Smellulator exclusive.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Don't beat my ass for this, but this is not out.
I don't even know what you're going to say.
I know. And this fragrance is not out, and they're not sure if they're going to release it. But after I run my gums about it, they might feel...
They're going to send us a cease and desist.
No. They like, they're the one brand that likes us.
Okay.
This is by Persons of Interest, and it's called Cry Baby.
Oh my, I love that name.
Smell it. Yeah, right?
It's like kind of subtle.
Maybe go a little higher.
Yeah. So. It's like very soft.
Yeah.
And a little powdery, a little cloudy.
Yeah, it's a little...
Very comforting.
Heady. It's a weird mix of light but heady and sort of sticky and caramelly.
Ooh. Oh my God, Dino, you have to release this.
I know, Dino, what's good?
Also, Crybaby is such a good name.
Crybaby is such a good name. So, I needed new hand soap, and I really like their Satsuma scent, but I also just really like their component and their logo. I think their logo is so fucking cool. I just like having it in my restroom. And anyway, I copped a new one, and he hooked it up, as he always does. And he sent me this pretty, it's one of those like twist up vials.
You know okay. I mean? Yeah,
like a travel situation.
Yeah.
It wasn't labeled Crybaby, and I looked at their site, and it's not on there. So I sent him a thank you, and you know, whatever. But then this morning, I was like, "Can you tell me a little bit more about this? Because I like want to understand what I'm smelling and whatever." And again, it's just like it's very me. It's soft, sweet, enveloping. All the things I literally just said. But per them, the top is bergamot and nectarine. The middle is cotton candy and vanilla. The bottom is musk, tonka, and sandalwood. They say it's light, fun, and not too sweet. I didn't think much of it, and this is them. I didn't think much of it initially, but my daughter smelled it on me when I walked in the house one evening after work, and she went nuts for it. Now that I've been wearing it a month or so, I really do enjoy it. Perfect for those times when I need a break from the usual heavier scents I wear. It was originally supposed to be for a candle. I work closely with a local fragrance house/manufacturer to formulate it for use in soy wax, but I wasn't happy with the scent throw. I only want candles that have a strong throw, both hot and cold, but the perfect scent to throw as a perfume, not too strong, very comforting. That's it.
That's great.
It's just really, everything about it is really
good. It's interesting because it does smell a bit removed from the person.
I totally agree.
Yeah. But in an interesting way.
Not to be like, wah, custom scents. But he has blended a couple things for us that are like heavy on the gourmand. Yeah,
The croissant one.
The croissant one for you.
So good.
The one he did for me.
That one that I was loved really pistachio. Too. The pistachio one, yeah.
And then he very nicely, do you remember when he did his own version of pink sugar?
Yep.
And then named it after my apartment and sent it to me. That one is also pretty far removed from the Persons of Interest universe. And I like that they have their own olfactory aesthetic, but can also play around in some other lanes. And this is great. I love this.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Release it. Free them. Free the crybaby.
I want to do a scent with Dino.
Dude, hell yeah.
I want us to do a Smellulator Persons of Interest scent. That'd be so sick.
Just like slap our name on the scent. I'd be very happy
with
that.
We could go to Canada and develop it.
Oh, shit.
Smell some shit.
Canada. I haven't been there since last year. No.
Were you there last year?
I don't know why I feel like I've been there more recently than I have, but the truth is no, I've not been there for like many years.
Okay. Yeah. I've only been once, but I love it.
I think the last time I was in Canada, I was like in a band that toured, which meant that it had to have been at least 2016. And we played in Montreal and it was really fun.
I love that.
Yeah. everyone just speaks French there first, and I was very confused.
I've only been there once, and I was on a press trip for Lush, and it was really nice. Montreal? I loved it. Vancouver.
Oh, Vancouver. That's, wait, nope. I was in Canada last year for Vancouver. I did go to Vancouver
last year. What did you go to Vancouver for? Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's it. I was like, I feel like I've been to Canada. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. I love Canada.
Same.
Our northern neighbor.
Yeah. Shout out to Canada. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so big surprise. I smell like the new Dead Cool Sunlit Blooms. I didn't really get to smell it at the event.
We were smelling some at that event. That was crazy.
There was a lot of, like, it was a very small room. There was a lot of people who were wearing a lot of their own fragrances. So it was just like this big cloud of personalities. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a lot of food out. So then it also smelled like food. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, we all took a bottle home. Yeah. That little goodie bag. And as soon as I sprayed it, I was like, oh my God, this is so good. Yeah. It's like, it's meant to be like, they call out orange blossom, white floral, and salty vanilla. And I like that Dead Cool, I think they always hero out three chords, which is great because it's simple to understand, but it does give you a structure to the world of the fragrance without overwhelming you.
Yeah, they're also just pretty simplistic sense in a good way.
Yes.
So there's not maybe a ton to extrapolate on.
Which is interesting is, like, yes, I get hits of these three things, but it's not overpoweringly either one. Mm. And then off the rip, before I even looked at the press materials when I just sprayed it on this morning, it is like sweet, and like I get the white floral. There's a tropicalness to it.
This is so pretty.
It's almost like a solar gourmand.
Yes.
It's like solar floral gourmand.
I would just say a really sweet solar floral.
Yes. Sweet. Yeah, this is sweet in a creamy way, more so than in a sugary way.
Yes,
I would say
it's like a hazy, solar floral.
It's so hard to explain because it's very complex, because it is both light and substantial at the same time.
Yeah,
it reminds me of a creamsicle macaroon.
Oh,
because it has, not that there's almond in it, but for me, I don't know. I just get Lindy Accord.
Get that?
Yeah, like a sweet almondy accord that's like a little bit wafery.
Mm. No, you're totally...
Very creamy, very... Getting the creme fraiche.
Yeah.
But then there is, like, the floral, like, the solar floral, and, like, a little bit of the salted vanilla. It's good.
It really is. Okay, so when I got this press email a while back, and I like Dead Cool a lot. Like I said, I've really come around to them this year. What are the notes? Orange blossom, salted vanilla, and...
White floral.
I read that, and I was like, okay, like, this
I mean, they have other stuff in there, but that's, like, the main three.
I was like, this is just probably not for me, and that's fine. And yeah, it's certainly not going to be an everyday thing for me, but the more that I smell it, it could be. Yeah. For me personally.
Yeah.
The more I smell it, I'm like, no, this is good. And also, I do feel like it is very much within the Dead Cool wheelhouse, but it's a little bit more complex and a little bit meatier than they have done.
Yeah. Which I'm so for. If this is like the direction they're going in, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
According to the brand, Sunlit Blooms is inspired by a grove on a cloudless morning greeted by a citrus bouquet, while ylang ylang and intense benzoin resin wear well after the sun sets. Which to me actually sounds quite accurate, because there is like a sunshine quality to it, but it's still very sticky and sweet.
Mm-hmm. All of those things.
So good. I was wearing it yesterday. I went to visit my boyfriend at a photo shoot he was doing, and I got there just as they were like wrapping up, and I was just like chatting to people, and then one of the photographers, she walked by me and she's like, wow, someone smells really good in here, who is this? And then Noah was like, it's probably Sable. And then one of their other friends who was always there, he was like, yeah, I didn't want to be creepy, but it's 100% you.
Oh.
And then everyone else was like, yeah, we didn't want to say anything because we felt weird saying it. You smell really good.
I think all good is a perfectly fine compliment. Just don't be fucking weird about
it. They're just like band boys. Right. They're just like, I don't want to be weird. Like,
well, good for them for like having the foresight to be like, maybe I just don't do
that. Yeah.
But
it's really...
Yeah, this is great.
It's really good. I think it's out now. It is exclusively at Sephora. Interesting. See, now that I've read that, I wonder if Sephora was like, we want something with more throw or with more punch.
I bet it was less about the profile and more just about the exclusivity.
Okay, fair.
You know?
I know Sephora does make a lot of insane asks from their brands.
Absolutely. Yeah, Sephora is the devil.
It is $90 for 50 milliliters, which is... Not bad.
No.
It's less than I thought it would be, actually.
This is great. Yeah. I would happily pay $90 for a Dead Cool scent.
And $30 for the travel size, which is I'm assuming 10 mls.
Probably 10 mls.
Which is usually the standard. Wow, with that like price breakdown, you may as well just spend the $90 because you get five times.
Right, right.
Five times the milliliters.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about their sort of hero scent taunt this year and just how...
I think that's my favorite one, actually.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I also like milk or extra milk.
You would.
Yeah. Wow.
No, it's just, I mean, it's a heavy musky scent. It's a very you scent.
But milk on its own smells like nothing on me. Like... that I can, maybe it's because like your nose just kind of gets used to the smell, so you don't smell it. But extra milk actually does. I think extra milk is cool to wear alone, where I can smell myself. But milk is great to layer with, which I believe was like the intent of the fragrance. So yay!
Yeah.
But I do like those. And now this is my favorite one. Hooray!
Has anything this week come out that you're excited about, fragrance wise?
Oh, I got the final third wave mailer from Future Society.
Oh God.
It was like another beefy mailer with like fake grass and all that. And so there's six scents. I now have them all.
Okay.
Thank you for sending them. I forget who sent them. And what's they're not bad. They're good. They're nice scents, but I just don't understand how the concept ties in because it doesn't seem to tie into me for me.
How do you mean?
Okay. So Future Society is a brand that their thing is that they use the DNA of extinct flowers to make these scents.
Yeah.
Their whole marketing thing is like, what is it like to smell like an extinct flower? And I'm like, I wouldn't know because I can't fucking smell it in any of these scents because you just made them smell like any other perfume out there.
Sure.
I did really like the Floating Forest one.
That's such
that
a
was
good
like
name.
Very green and figgy. I really like that one. I think the last two I got was like the woody, there was like grass something. The last ones that I ever sent are called Invisible Woods and Grassland Opera, which are green and woody, musky scents, respectively. Not respectfully, actually. And they're nice. They're lovely scents. And not for nothing, but these scents linger. They last. Because I sprayed it on a blotter in my room, and I was just smelling it for hours. Huh. So I was like, okay, good on you. But again, I'm like, this is a scent that I've smelled before.
I think that the extinct DNA of the flowers, whatever, is just like the differentiator.
Flower.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not how the DNA works. I don't know.
I will say, from someone who is not interested in the brand, that it is effective. I got served a paid ad this week for them, and I forgot the way that they laid the messaging out because I just scrolled past it really quickly. But even what I did absorb, I was like, that was nicely done. I don't care, but I kind of care. You know what I mean? If I was someone completely blind to it, I think that would have stopped and been like, fuck all this then. So yeah, it's giving
You know. Again, they're nice scents as they are.
Yeah. You know what I got this week?
What?
Kayali Eden Sparkling Lychee 39.
I think I'm supposed to get that.
I'm sure you are. And it does what it came to do.
So it's just like a lychee balm?
It's a big lychee balm. I'm going to read the notes real quick because they're relevant, I promise. But top is sparkling lychee, black currant, Italian lemon, red apple. The middle is Rose Damascena, candied violet, and jasmine sumpach, your favorite. The dry down is sugared amber, cedarwood, musk, vanilla absolute, and sandalwood. Kayali tends to throw everything at the wall but works more often than it doesn't. And this is really nice. I mean, it is just upon first spray a sparkling lychee, you know. It is what it is. I think it's a really good note to build the scent around. I will say that to me it is as much black currant and maybe even red apple as it is lychee. I mean, it is really a love letter to the top notes, and it's really nice. It almost gives you, with as juicy and sweet as the notes are, if you told me this was a strawberry scent, I would totally believe you. And I mean that in the best way. And we know Kayali for doing really deep, dark, spicy, sweet, sticky scents. Mm-hmm. And they rarely deviate from that. I mean, they did with Eden Red Apple, whatever the fuck that's called, Utopia. This one, I think, is the best execution of their like sweet fruity idea. It's just really nicely done. I think lychee is a more unique idea than an apple, all love, but yeah, it's great. And I also really, the bottle is so gorgeous. It's their typical bottle, but it's this sort of like milky strawberry pink glass. It's like
it's like a translucent, almost frosted.
It's not jelly. Frosted. It's like jelly. Yeah, it's like a jelly glass. Yeah. It's exactly. It's not trans. It is translucent, but it's like there is sort of an opacity to it. It's beautiful. So yeah, I mean, if this interests you, it does pay off on its promise for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great.
What is it, like sparkling Eden lychee? What's
it? Yes, because these all have like confirmation names. Kayali Eden sparkling lychee 39.
Wow.
Yeah. To me, this is not to gender or season things, but a huge spring scent to me.
Spring.
Yeah. Okay. And it is interesting to me that they are releasing it now, but here we are.
That is interesting that they're releasing it now. I wonder if it's like a southern hemisphere spring.
Maybe.
I don't know. I feel like now more than ever, people are not releasing scents according to seasons.
No.
Which is cool. But I think it's like also confusing because I remember Dies and Durga released like Deep Dark Vanilla.
In the summer.
Yeah. Also Mahogany Cora in the summer. And those are both quite heavy scents. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now people are just releasing scents willy nilly.
Yeah. It's funny. So Hugh Banks is in town because he won't fucking leave New York. And when he comes, he loves to go perfume shopping. And I was working yesterday and he was like, I'm sniffing. And I'm like, okay, where are you? Thinking he's very like department store energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sent me a photo of just like his POV. And he was at Dies and Durga. And I was like, I was really hoping you were going to be there. I'm really happy you're there. And him and his friend Ken were sniffing around. And Hugh Banks really liked Notorious Oud. And Ken was like, have you heard of their pistachio? And I was like, boy, have I. And he was obsessed with it. I was like, you need to buy that. It's not available.
I do think that's one of their best scents.
Where you are. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Ugh. Pistachio.
Speaking of things that are trending.
Yes.
Wasn't our most streamed episode last year our trend forecasting?
Yes, it was.
So it's December and we're back.
Yes, we are back.
With more ideas.
Instead of doing the of the years, which we maybe did.
Which we would never do, but also did.
We like to look ahead to the future.
Yes.
And see where the scents will be going for 2024. And as I was doing a little bit of research for this, what's really interesting is that a lot of the pieces I saw that are ostensibly just the same thing of like fragrance predictions or trend forecasting for 2024, a lot of the shit was the shit we said last year.
All right.
Actually, most of it was.
Okay.
And I was, maybe that's why it was the most streamed episode. Somebody's listening to us.
These bitches are jocking our
okay.
shit. Okay. All right.
And I think our predictions last year, I feel like we did a little check-in with our little fragrance data report a little while ago, but some of them came to be, some of them are still cooking. I think some of them are still going to be very relevant for next year as well. Mm-hmm. But I also think we're going in other directions for next year. Anyway.
What are some of yours?
Okay. One of mine is vegetal scents.
Oh.
Which I briefly mentioned our last episode.
That's fine.
People are obsessed with tomato, cucumber, parsley scents, mint scents, like anything from a garden, herb garden.
Yep.
Like I think of Bistro Waters.
Yep.
Coriander. There's a lot of already existing ones, but I feel like people are moving into that. Or carrot. Carrot and beetroot is a thing.
Yeah.
I remember Loewe sent me a home fragrance that was beetroot. And I was like, why didn't you just make this a perfume?
Yeah.
I still... Personally, I don't quite get the point of a home scent that you spray,
I don't either, and I would genuinely like someone to explain it to me.
I would love to know it, but...
I would like to know it.
I don't, and that's fine. See, like, when I think of home spray, I'm like, so, like, a bathroom spray? That's right. What I think of. I don't think of, like, an elegant living room spray.
I didn't even think of that, you know? I don't know.
I was like, so should I put it in the bathroom? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, beetroot also... Diptyque did a limited edition Kyoto scent that was like very much beetroot, I think a year or two ago. I had it like on the back of my mind since then. I was like, beetroot, like what an interesting and weird, unexpected note.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing all these other vegetable notes, like carrot, tomato candles, man. People are obsessed with tomato candles.
People are obsessed with tomato candles. I recently just wore something on this show with beetroot in it. I want to say it, I'm going to be wrong about it, but I want to say it was like Coach Love because I remember all of the
everything
notes.
Everything was like red and pink.
Everything was red. Yeah, exactly. And the bottle is so red too. Yeah, that's a really good one and I completely agree with you.
Yeah, veggies.
Have you smelled the Flamingo Estate tomato?
I haven't, but I've heard of it.
Someone was just... absolutely raving about
that's it. Like a I think that's one of their best sellers.
Yeah, and I know that they just franchised it now, so it's available in like everything. So I am curious about it. Mm-hmm. We should have someone from them on.
I think of the Boy Smells summer fragrances, like the herbaceous candle.
We stand Boy Smells on the show, but that tomato candle,
yeah,
was crazy.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're going to bring that back, if not make it permanent.
That was so good.
Did you burn through it?
I burned through them all.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I just have the watermelon one left. Rind.
Rind.
Yeah.
Rinder.
The laughs.
The first one on mine is, and I'm not saying I'm pro this because I'm low-key not, but fragrances with mental health ties.
Yes. The whole wellness and now like spirituality ties.
Yeah.
That was on my list too.
Yeah.
That witchy stuff.
Oh, the witch shit. Yeah.
The woo-woo stuff.
I think that, how can I say this eloquently? You know, everyone, whether it's DNA from extinct flowers or functional fragrance, I think everyone is clamoring for fragrances with additional benefits, whether they're mental or
placebo effect
or like a philanthropic kickback, whatever. I don't know. But I do see fragrance taking functional fragrance and then going the rare beauty angle with it with a little bit of, you know, that positivity, mental health.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm basing this off of solely intuition.
No, I've definitely seen fragrances that use that in their marketing. Mm-hmm. If it's not explicitly written on the packaging, it's definitely written in the press materials.
Yeah,
where it's for mental wellness and blah blah blah. We've had a couple episodes about John's mood scents,
right?
All the ways scent can have neurological benefits, and all that stuff. Personally, I'm going to need a lot more than a perfume to make me well, but
let's check in on our functional fragrance prediction, because I think that was really near the top of our list. How do you think we did with that one? Where do we stand?
I think we were pretty spot on.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's, of course, when I'm trying to think of examples, I can't think of any.
Being
Frenchy, Viro comes to mind.
Viro. That witch brand.
The witch brand. Yep. Yeah. They've always had a spiritual tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
Nuco,
of course. Are still at it.
They're still at it. They're just adding to that line.
I mean, those are what comes to mind for me.
Yeah.
So
there's that, and I'm like looking at my list, and all I wrote was moon stuff. Like, what the fuck am I talking about? / spiritual. But I noticed a lot of perfumes with like moon in the name.
Really?
Or in the concept.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, people are obsessed with the moon. But again, it ties into the spiritual thing of, I don't know, the woo-woo-ness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Which honestly, I don't hate that. I think it's cool. Okay. I think using scent as like a ritualistic thing is great. It's the way it's been used in history.
Right.
But,
and I think it's also a ritual, whether or not you think of it as that.
But the previous cultural notion of fragrance just being like a glamorous ritual versus now a wellness and spiritual ritual is taking a turn.
Ritual. And,
yeah. It's taking a turn.
Yeah.
Which, again, I'm like, I don't hate this, but I don't like the way that it's over-marketed as such.
I think
but I like the idea of it.
The idea of?
Yeah. Of spiritual ties to fragrance.
Yeah. I think that the industry as a whole has ran away with this idea of product and its tie to mental health in a way that is dangerous.
Absolutely.
I'll let you have an inch. Don't take a mile.
Oh, they're going to take that mile.
I know, but there are some brands, and I won't name them, or maybe I will, but that I'd see, there has to be a distinction and a clear line between product and mental health benefit, or however you're doing it, and they can't be the same thing, because a product is just a product. I'm sorry. I don't care what you say or what you think Gen Z wants to hear. That's not I think we're making some dangerous reaches more often than we're doing it eloquently. I say all this cautiously.
Yeah. The ties of product to identity is so real, and it's just too much. It is too much.
I almost sent you this video ad, whatever, of a certain founder talking about their products and self-love and self-care. And I'm like, okay, it's a face wash.
Yeah.
Let's start there. And I get it. Yeah. There's just a way to do it and a way to not. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I'm saying there are a lot of brands who are not.
Yeah. That's obviously a much bigger topic on a different podcast.
And
but
I'm not trying to be a hater for the sake of being a hater. I'm just
It's true. That is now reaching the fragrance sphere.
Oh, totally.
Because fragrance is now such a booming category in beauty. So they're like, now we have to apply all the successful things, the successful practices that we do for beauty marketing to fragrance. So let's make it about your identity.
Yeah.
And what does Gen Z like to wear? I'm like, I don't know. Everything. people them. Just like scents.
Right.
They're not going to not wear something because they think it's, oh, that's for older people or younger people.
Right.
I think people just like what they like.
Right. Which is great.
Yeah, which is great and normal, and but not easy for marketers right. to use.
What's next on your list?
Okay, next on my list is, man, I got to like write things better.
I was looking at your penmanship and I was like, whew.
It's like a doctor with a prescription pad. I can't. Right. Quirky florals. I think florals are getting weirder.
That's so funny. You have quirky florals. Yeah. I have kooky gourmands.
Yes.
but we'll start with
very
you.
Closely tied together. I think florals, people are trying to modernize florals. Wow. Is that your back?
That's my hip.
Oh my goodness. I wonder if like the mic picked that up.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah, Tynan just like, twisted his back and I just heard this like loud pop. Chiropractors hate him. anyway, back to florals. I have been noticing, maybe it's just the way they're written about, that florals are trying to be like, they're like the modern rose, the modern iris,
sure.
the modern violet. It's like, it's not your grandmother's iris or blah, blah, blah.
Like, leave my grandmother out of this.
What does she have to do with anything? As far as I know, she didn't wear perfume, right. but there is this kind of refreshing of florals, or they're combining it with unexpected things mm-hmm. and making it more almost colorful and vibrant and neon.
You're saying they're like updating or finding updated ways to speak about the notes that we heard about, or they're bringing new ones in, or both?
The first one. Because like, okay, rose scents have been around for ages, and yet every freaking brand always releases a rose scent. Mm-hmm. So in order to make it novel and new, they have to combine it with something different, a little unexpected, and then just talk about it in a different way. That's not this beautiful classic Victorian rose.
Right.
It's just something more interesting and punching, and it has more like attitude and perspective on scent, which is pretty cool. Again, I'm not a floral person, but I think because of this trend, I'm becoming more amenable to florals when they're not so capital F floral, but when they're a little bit diluted. And like, Prada Paradox. God, I can't shut the fuck up about Prada Paradox. Like, that is a floral that I'm like, ooh, I really like this. Or I don't think it's super new. Narcisa Rodriguez has, it's an orange, it's like a neroli, it's one of the cubes, it's one of the cube fragrances.
Where
they're like the colorful cubes that
in
their
frosted glass.
Yes, it is like this pastel, dare I say, Pantone peach fuzz colored.
Oh, the cube. Sherbet one.
Yeah,
that one is so
and
pretty.
It's an orange blossom scent. It's a white floral, but it's so fucking pretty and a little bit more creamier and muskier. So again, it's not like a capital F floral, but it's getting me. They're getting me in there by little side street avenues, and I'm interested in that.
It's funny. Yeah. Mine goes right off of that, and it goes into mine also the one after it. So maybe I'm just gonna talk my shit here for a second.
Yeah.
My first one is Kooky Gourmands.
Yes, I also have that on my list
because I think with the pistachio of it all, and everything, I think people are bringing in. I think we're
More food.
I think gourmands and our ideas of them are getting farther reaching, which is really exciting to me.
Yes.
I think we're just like pulling.
Yeah.
We're getting more creative.
Yeah, yeah.
And I enjoy that. But this, actually what I think I might just have said the same thing in two different ways. Storytelling notes. Things that, okay, no, we didn't take a tennis ball and extract an oil from it, but we're giving you a tennis ball note. I get that's all marketing.
Yeah.
I don't think that I care. Because it is exciting to me, and those things do really pique my interest and get me excited. If we're getting creative with our notes and how we're using them and talking about them, I'm going to let it happen as long as it's accurate.
Yep.
Or as long as I can pull it out of the scent. And I think I'm saying all this because I have spent the last month getting humbled. But I got a press release for the new Fleur scent, a brand that we have been very critical of on this show. But it really did catch my eye because that there is a note, I forget their exact wording, but of gummy candy in it. Fruit gummy candy.
Okay.
And I was like, you know
is
what?
Is this the mood ring?
Yes. Okay. And I was like, you know what? You're going to have to send that to me
because
I am intrigued. And
I have a feeling I know what it already smells like just by reading about it.
Maybe not, but I also really like the name Mood Ring. I think it's
Mood
great.
Ring is a
and
name.
That plus the fruity gummy candy is enough to pull me into it and shut me up a bit. So I am really
excited. I think
it's
out already?
I think it just came out, because I missed the first email and they sent me a follow-up and I called it in. I don't know if this matters right now because I'm not wearing it, but it has Pattaya pulp. What the fuck is Pattaya?
think it's a fruit.
Okay.
I've heard the name before.
Pitaya pulp orange fruit gummies, orange flower jasmine sambac, and marigold blossom.
Oh, it's like dragon fruit.
Okay. Patchouli glazed musk and amber. So, I don't know. That sounds pretty fun. And if it's a good scent, it's a good scent.
Why don't they just say dragon fruit?
I don't know.
Anyway.
I'm excited about the gummy. And yeah, I think back to, what the fuck was it called? Matchpoint from DS and Durga. Mm-hmm. That build that they gave us had like essentially no actual notes.
Yeah,
it was just like tennis ball and hard court and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. But it, you did get, I really like that scent. And two, you did get a little bit of that like rubbery tennis ballness to it. And I'm like, I'm going to let this happen.
Was that a scent or was that a candle?
It was a scent, but it was limited edition.
Right.
It was one of the studio juices. Yeah. And they, as I love DS and Durga, but as we know, they sometimes get a little loose for me. Sometimes I'm like, just tell me what's in the goddamn scent. But they didn't tell me anything about this one. No. And I really liked it. I think as long as it's well done, I do want to see shit get a little bit more fun and exploratory. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I think gourmands are getting out there, which is
thank God.
Is cool.
Yeah,
I think, like, why not?
Why not?
Also, our whole palette for food has expanded as well.
Yeah,
I am excited about that. Piggybacking off of that, I think new spices is also going to be a thing. We're going to get some new spices.
How do you mean new spices?
Whether by accord or blending shit together, I see it with the vanilla happening now. How everyone's making these darker.
Yeah.
More faceted vanillas, which is why I'm like, maybe they're just blending it differently, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Or like putting saffron in things and cinnamon. Anise, I feel like, is coming up. Anise is up and comer.
Yeah.
But the way people are using spices now is a lot more interesting, I think.
I agree. And if I can piggyback off of that, I am sort of surprised by how far reaching vanilla has gotten.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was when, like, the vanilla era into vanilla powder.
Mm-hmm.
I realize those are two completely different brands with two completely different audiences and price points. But I was like, oh, so we're really doing this.
Yeah.
Everyone is here.
Yeah.
Everyone is committing to this.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Yeah, I'm a little shocked. And I think what you just said, I feel like, not going to say there's only so far you can take vanilla, because you can take it anywhere forever. Vanilla is infinite. But I think we're going to start seeing like vanilla derivatives. Like,
oh, yeah.
What the fuck was it just wearing? Oh, we were talking about matcha, how like it's not, but a lot of the big matcha scents right now are essentially vanillas that are green.
Yep.
I think we'll start seeing more diffusion vanillas. Like, I want to see a caramel corn or like weird
popcorn.
I want the pistachioification of gourmands. You know what I mean? Get weird with it. Own it. Make it big. Yeah. God forbid we have a little goddamn fun.
Yeah. I think ambers are going to be a new thing. Also because we can't say oriental anymore. So now like all the incense and the oud, they'll fall. I don't know. I just feel like I've been seeing more ambery scents that incorporate oud and benzoin and incense and all of these really golden ambery punchy scents that would 30 years ago probably be categorized as oriental, but now are just this like new resurgence of amber, which I'm into.
I feel, and this could be just my wrong perspective, but I feel like I'm seeing a lot more incense getting pulled up and heroed out, even in the name that I'm used to, and I wonder why that is.
Maybe people are just more interested in incense.
Maybe. I just feel like it was one that would scare people off.
I think incense is one of those polarizing things that people either love it or they hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever something is polarizing, it usually does well.
Yeah. Also, I will say, and I feel like I've been seeing even more musks lately.
Yep. Like, I was just thinking that too.
It's musk is always like the suffix on the fragrance name. It's amber musk, musk.
I think they go in both directions. The more headier and punchier and intense fragrances are coming out, there's also more fragrances coming out that are like musky and light and cozy.
Do you think that those are for the consumer who may have ran their course with Glossy AU but still want something in the wheelhouse?
I don't think as many people wear Glossy AU as I do.
I think everyone wears it.
No.
Everyone wears it.
Everyone in a very specific subsect of demo.
I don't know.
In the world of fragrance wearers, I don't think that many people are Glossy AU.
I really truly do.
I think that, I don't think so.
We can disagree. But now it's in Sephora, so we're all fucked. It haunts me.
A lot of shit's in Sephora.
Have you smelled the new Glossy AU candle?
No.
All right.
Don't send me shit.
I don't care about it. I'm just curious. I guess they took one of their deodorant scents and made it a candle. That fucking Satan deodorant.
It's not good. I'll be honest. I think I got it because I had some like store credit. Mm. I just got the Glossier You deodorant, and it's coconut oil based, which is very iffy.
Yes, it is.
It's iffy because it stains your shirts.
Yeah. Do you want to ruin all your clothes? Down. Then do I have the product for you?
Please. I do think that there are more. I think I mentioned this last episode too. These musky or light, translucent, cashmere. What is that material? Chiffon or
silk?
Silk. Yeah. Silk. All of these kind of like light scents are coming out as well. I think that has an appeal to an audience who is the clean girl beauty of it
all.
Yes. That's what it is.
Yes.
It's the minimalist clean girl vacant. I think of condos, new construction, that everything looks the same. It's like this homogenous kind of.
Yes. I really like how you said like a scaffolding of a fragrance.
It is. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
For sure.
There's like a vacancy within it, which can be appealing in and of itself.
Yep.
But I don't know.
I understand the urge to want to smell really light and really faint.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel it, but I get it.
I think for people who want to smell good, but don't want to overpower or be like the center of attention or choke anybody out, that's for them. Sure. And there are a lot of people like that.
Which is valid.
Yeah, which is valid.
Since we're talking about textiles, this is a note to Bath and Body Works. If you don't bring back the cozy cashmere candle, I'm taking it to the streets. Ooh. I know you listen. Send me 30.
Be careful. They will.
Yeah, I know. They will.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for. Bath and Body Works will fulfill it.
They will fulfill it.
Good God.
Every time they send me an opt-in email for their mailers, I'm like, no, please no. I don't have the room. Like, I appreciate you, but no. Send them to Marcy. She's in Florida.
Yeah. Truly, I don't have it. I just want one.
Yeah, just one.
Oh, hair perfume.
It's on my list, too. Yes. I knew it was on yours.
Hair perfume will
hair perfume.
A thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is silly because just spray perfume on your hair, but I think a lot of people don't know how to wear scent, so maybe there's just like a nice idea here.
I think the way in for hair perfume, and I'm not saying this is right or accurate, but a perfume is alcohol-based. You don't want alcohol in your hair, so you make a perfume for like a hair version.
I think there's alcohol in the hair perfume as well, to be honest.
I think it's just more optimized for your hair. I don't think it's
I'm sure it has a conditioning agent in it. Right. It could be like a little leave-in spray.
It's also, it's the dry shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
It's I haven't washed in a few days. I'm worried about how my hair smells maybe I'm a smoker or I was in a smoky bar or whatever. Mm-hmm. I get it. But I'm with you. I'm like, girl, just spray it.
Just spray perfume in your
spray hair. Spray like a heat protectant spray to protect your hair, then spray perfume on it. It's fine.
It's fine.
Coming from the bald buzz cut bitch right here.
I do remember going to a Sacha Schwan. I think I'm saying that right. They're a Swedish hair brand.
The way you just said that was very
Sacha Schwan. Anyway, I can't say without saying it like that. I don't know why. I went to an event of theirs like in the fall, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out with a line of hair perfume specifically, which because they're a hair brand, it has hair conditioning agents in it. But I thought it was interesting that they came out with unconventional hair perfume scents because I feel like a lot of the hair perfume scents out there are like, they smell like shampoo. So it's that aldehyde soapy floral, which like reads very feminine.
Yeah.
And these had more woody or like more interesting scent profiles that are just like a little woody, a little more amber.
Sure.
I think I got like a cedary one. All I remember is that it smelled like by the fireplace by Margiela. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't really see hair perfumes that have this type of scent profile. They usually have a very shampooy scent profile. So
totally.
Like, that's interesting.
It is interesting.
From a hair brand, I would understand that. From a fragrance brand, I'd be like, just make the perfume.
Well, then I start to wonder because we got to get like a PD girl on hand or a formulator, but I wonder from a formula perspective, because my guess is there's probably not a lot of difference, but where the line is between a body mist and a hair perfume.
Exactly.
You know?
Because that, like, to me, a body mist is just as well as a hair perfume. I don't know. Why are they doing this?
I could talk to a product development girl all day, though, so maybe be careful what I wish for.
Yeah, but I still think that intenses are going to come more down the line.
I think that we're now in a place that the intense version is just as dependable as like a Marvel sequel, because that's essentially what it is, which is fine. Yeah.
But now they call it beast mode.
I wish they would not.
Stop. X-traits. I love an X-trate. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like longevity is one of the top things people search for when they're looking for a fragrance. Yeah. Obviously, people are looking for a way to give people that. If they put the word intense or X-trate, there's no definition of what an X-trate is. There's no percentage rubric for what makes something an eau de parfum versus an X-trate. But
I think there are, I mean, I think there are ballparks, but again, like, how do you...
I don't know.
Because I've seen them, but it's like, who made this up? I don't know.
I went to like a fragrance convention thing where they said there's actually no...
Yeah.
Like, you can put 4% and you can call an X-rate. And I'm like, damn. So it's just...
Well, I think that's where I'm starting to get confused, because like, technically, if we're talking about the categories of fragrance formula as it pertains to how much raw materials are in it,
you know, oils.
Eau fraiche is a category. Cologne is a category, not a men's fragrance, but like cologne is a very light fragrance, and you have, like you said, X-rate, whatever. But I feel like the industry is starting to use those as... Because I've seen like an eau fraiche intense, and I'm like, okay, what are we doing?
It's, what the heck?
Like, I get the use of parfum, like, obviously, but I think we're starting to throw a lot of these words together, and I'm like, I think we're losing the plot here, girls.
Yeah, the plot is lost.
Yeah.
Good gravy. But on that tip, for the sake of intensity, I think perfume oils are now going to be more of a thing. I don't know. But they're also incredibly expensive, because it's just the oil itself that's undiluted. It's the concentrated formula. Mm-hmm. But as we've learned, people will pay ridiculous amounts of money for fragrance. So there's always a customer out there who wants the best of the best, or the most pure concentrate. So that's a thing.
In terms of the X-trate, I know I was talking a lot about Patchouli Magnétique the past 2 weeks, but I put it on my boyfriend that last Sunday just to be like, this is really good. I really love it, but I want to smell it on someone else. That is so strong. And it's it is strong in a way on someone else that it is not on your person. And I was like, this is really heavy. We're doing two sprays. I'm doing one on your wrist, and you're going to tap once, and that's it. And then I'm getting one on your chest. My entire long ass apartment smelled like that for the entirety of the day.
But I think that's what it smells like when you put it on yourself too.
I know, but I don't.
Yeah, your nose gets used to it.
I get nose blind to like the space around me. Not myself, but damn.
Yeah.
All four rooms in my enormous apartment.
Yeah, it will haunt you.
It haunted me. And twice he was like, this is a really strong perfume. And I was like, I know, I'm sorry, David, to do this to you. Anyway.
I can picture him hating that.
He didn't hate it, but he was just like, whoa.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Whiplash.
It is a lot. I think that discovery kits are going to get more intricate, and limited edition drops are going to become more of a thing.
Describe what you mean with the first one.
I think now that fragrance brands realize that discovery kits are the way to get people, they're just going to start doing weird stuff with them.
Huh.
And I don't entirely know what that means.
Okay.
I feel like it's going to happen.
I'm totally with you on the second part. The very limited drops.
Yeah.
Those excite me. I think it's a cooler way to do weirder shit with less risk.
Exactly.
But it's also a great way for the brand to test the market.
Totally.
You know.
And it's like a brand thing too.
Yeah, exactly. It's a hype thing.
What's her face? Sniff with like the croissant crumble one and the dinosaur fossil fuel one.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is interesting.
And it's like a way to get people to... It's a way to introduce people to the brand.
Mm-hmm. What I think is cool about... What is the Sniff secret menu called? I don't care. Whatever. That when they introduced that, I was like, okay, this is just another like sister brand. But they really thus far have done one drop a year. So it does feel a little bit more intentional than not. But I don't know. But like Boy Smells is doing it now with their... Whatever it's called. And D.S. and Durga has done it forever. D.S.
and Durga's always done it.
I do think it's cool. And I mean, look, it gave us pistachio.
It did. It gave us pistachio. The marketing model that launched pistachio. I wonder if other brands looked to D.S. and Durga and were like, ooh, this really works, and then decided to do it.
I would think so.
Maybe a couple.
Yeah.
I'm sure a couple. Again, low risk. Somebody could try out. And if it flops, it's not like a huge...
Because I think Boy Smells is a significantly larger brand, or was for the time, or is for the time being, than D.S. and Durga. But I think it is probably... The bigger the brand is, I would assume the harder it is to do that.
Yeah.
But... They're doing it, and it's only online, so it makes a lot of sense just to be like, oh, here.
I still think nostalgia stuff is gonna come, but or be is going to continue to scale.
Really?
We haven't milked nostalgia for all it's worth yet.
Okay.
And if nothing else, it's just because I've noticed in fragrance descriptions, people write in nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's nostalgic to this. So I'm like, okay, we're clearly thinking of the past. We're harping.
Well, the present's not great.
That is true. They're like, back to the better times. And I'm like, was it?
Yeah. For who?
For who? Exactly. For whom? But people are still interested, especially Y2K nostalgia is still a thing.
That has stuck around for longer than I expected it to. I actually saw this piece this week that was like, why has personal style not changed?
Yeah,
in the last
I saw
20
that
years?
Too. Yeah.
And I think I agree with that as much as I don't. Also, I did not read the
article. I didn't read the article, but I meant to.
It's on my list.
It is on my list, yeah. But I did agree with the headline initially, how there's no distinctive style of...
You've said that before, too.
Yeah, of the 2010s. There's this distinctive style of the early 2000s, and then after that, it just melded into, I don't know.
I do think that, and this is my first time, I don't know, being alive, but... I feel like the pendulum swung back to Y2K really fast. I know that they say style has a 20-year cycle. Mm-hmm. So I suppose we're in the 2020s now. Yeah. Fine, that is 20 years. But I don't know. Or maybe personal style stopped evolving as quickly and drastically as it did from like the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. So perhaps
I think it's because fast fashion.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I don't know.
I think fast fashion has a huge... impact.
I guess I just got to cook that idea a little longer, personally.
Because trends, micro trends, just happen every season. And every season has a season within a season.
Yeah.
It's just that. And everything's disposable now. Which is the end of personal style and eventually the earth.
Yeah.
I don't really follow a lot of fashion-y people. I don't get it. I don't get fashion. I like what I like, but I just don't get fashion. Because I think a lot of it, especially now, is just hype. Mm-hmm. There is this new hypey thing. And... everyone just starts to look the same to me. There are very few people out there that I can think of that have a distinctive style. Mm-hmm. And that's very singular and signature to them, no matter what the trends are, which I think is actually a lot harder to do these days, is to commit to a singular style than it is to just, ooh, this new viral thing, and here's how I'm styling it, mm-hmm. which is what everything is these days.
I was putting together this deck this week about luxury brand collaborations and partnerships and just how they look and how they move and how they become like cultural moments, whatever, but seeing them all, and I love like a collab, whatever, but I'm like a sucker for that. I am that customer, but seeing them all together, you know, in one, like all of the big ones in the last 3 years, it is jarring how truly it all looks and feels the same. It's just a bunch of, and coming out of, thank God, this logo mania that fashion was stuck in for so long. And a lot of these collaborations were birthed out of seeing that all in concert with each other. I'm like, whoa, we're truly just looking at the same shit all day, all week, all year. It's giving.
I feel like that's like, I feel like that's most of my scent. I had something called conceptual fragrances that I'm still just, But I think that had to do with the future societies of the now.
Okay.
And like the molecule all ones of the now.
Yeah.
Where something becomes a concept.
Yeah.
Extinct flowers, or like this Isui super that smells like you but not you. I think that's a draw in fragrance,
because I am working with a couple of brands, or have worked with a couple of brands in the last like quarter or two, that, you know, they're launching. And I think what I'm trying to get to, doesn't matter why, is that people get so caught up in differentiator and their concept and what like sets them apart and makes them unique, because there is just so much shit out there right now. That is the focus, instead of just like a good product.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel if you give the customer something good. And I get it, like, to break through the noise, there's got to be something. I understand that, but it's like the lowest common denominator is just something good. There's a reason why. Maybe this isn't the parallel to draw, but Kali Vanilla popped off again with no marketing behind it and no push whatsoever. It's just like the girls started chatting.
Yep.
And then it did go viral because of that. And it's literally called Vanilla.
Yeah.
And there's no differentiator other than, there's all respect, but there's no differentiator to Kali.
Yeah.
It's just a cute girl brand. Hey. But it's, I don't know, do I care about the DNA of, we're just hating on this brand all episode, but do I care about the DNA of an extinct flower, or do I just want to smell something I love?
No,
I don't know.
People just want to smell something they love. They want to smell nice. They want to get compliments on the way they smell. That's mostly it. And it's weird that I don't know if it's difficult to do or it's just considered not in good taste or something, but like pleasure and enjoyment for the sake of pleasure and enjoyment.
Oh, I mean,
is what will always succeed.
Yeah.
And people for some reason like just they want to avoid talking about that. But I think kale vanilla is one of those scents that's simply just for pleasure.
Yes.
People might not think it's very sophisticated or elevated, blah, 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 but it's enjoyable. And that's why it's popular.
Yeah. And I guess to keep myself honest, because what I've said last year, who knows? But I guess I'd rather have someone work hard on whatever their concept and whatever makes them different is than just grab a celebrity face.
Yeah.
And I don't hate on celebrity brands.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like celebrity attachments to brands is still going strong.
Oh, totally.
It will continue to do so. More celebrities will be releasing fragrances next year. I am sure of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that gives it more of a leg up than just being a good scent.
I don't think it does right now. Yeah. A friend of mine works at a celebrity brand, which in our beauty editor circle gets a lot of play and coverage because they're good at shopping the celebrity out at events and mm-hmm. getting them FaceTime with the editors and all that. So to us, it feels like a lot of people are talking about this brand, but he was like, bro, no one's buying our shit. No one cares.
Yeah.
But to us though, I am surprised by how much play I see it get.
It's because they're pushing really hard.
Right, right.
I feel like we've had a couple repeats from last year's predictions for this year. Mm-hmm. Some of which, again, did come true. Some of which are still cooking.
It's funny because
it takes a long time.
Yeah, it does take a long time. And as much as we say the trend cycle is a day long, which it is, when it comes to product, things do take quite a while. And on the product side, a trend does take longer to die because other brands ideate, pick it up, execute it, blah, blah, blah. And so we're going to be seeing pistachio for 5 years. Yeah. Thank God.
Also, a trend to us, people in the beauty industry or people interested in beauty, is very different than a mainstream trend.
That is true.
Yeah. So for something to get mainstream, it does take quite a bit longer. Mm-hmm. That's why people will pick something up 2 years later mm-hmm. and they're like, oh my God, this is new. We're like, dude, that was a thing 2 years ago.
Yeah. Bro, it's new to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is good.
We need to enjoy things for longer because we can't stop making things. Those are our predictions for 2024. God willing. Hire us for all of your consulting, all of your scent consulting needs. And you can find us at our website, smellylater.live, where you'll find our merch, which make very good holiday gifts. I know it's a little late now. I don't know if it'll get to you in time, but why not? Why not? You can leave us a voice note at the Smelly Later hotline, also on our website. You can follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3. I am at Sableto's Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.